I would just like to ask you all a couple of questions and be honest. How many of the males in this room think about being male? How many of the females think about being female? Given that background, can we say that being male is a privilege in our a privileged position in our society? How many of you white people think about being white? How many of you people of color are aware that you're not white? Can we say that being white is a privilege? I also think being Christian is a privilege, is a privileged position in this society. Being heterosexual is a position of privilege in the society. The scripture reading today is about privilege. And I also think that unless we begin to understand our privilege, that we miss out on a lot. Listen for the word of God. Jesus left the place and went to a district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." And Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples urged him, saying, "Send her away because she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take away the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed that instant. This is an astonishing text, one that I really did not want to take on, because it's difficult. Jesus had gone away with his disciples, probably to get some rest, probably to get away from the crowd. He needed to exhale, doing something foolish like going up to Cape Cod for a while. And then this foreign woman, he's in her territory. He's in her territory. And somehow she has heard about him. This is a person who is female. She is foreign. And even in the text, she does not have a name. That's how little power she has. Some commentators, this same woman shows up in the Gospel of Luke called the Syrophoenician woman. But in Matthew, it's thought that Matthew was doing a play on words, calling her a Canaanite woman, because in Greek and in English, you can hear that canine work, right? And there are only two interpretations of this text, and it depends on how you understand Jesus. Your theology about Jesus, the snotty academic word is Christology. If you think that Jesus was fully human and fully God, then there's one answer to this text. But if you think that what we tend to do is say Jesus is fully God, we throw him up into heaven and say, "I'll see you in a few years," and then we say Jesus is perfect and I can't do that. But if we think that Jesus is human also, this may be a time when Jesus is getting his tail kicked. That he had set only some few boundaries, only for the children of Israel. this woman is persistent. You can tell she's a mother because she will not stop. In the name of her daughter, she shouts to him, "Have mercy on me, son of David." She recognizes who he is when his own disciples don't recognize it. It won't be until next week that his disciples start getting the sense of who he is. But she does. She is the teacher in the text, and she is teaching the teacher. And then she comes up to him, and notice the position that she gets in. She kneels. That's what you do in the presence of a king. Because she understood that he had the power. And the words she says are, "Lord, help me." I think that that is probably the most important prayer we can ever pray. When we don't know high from up, when we don't know what we're supposed to do, when we don't know where the Spirit is guiding us, when we don't know how it's going to work out, the simplest, most powerful prayer we can pray is, "Lord, help me." And I'm astonished that Jesus doesn't want to talk to her. I'm astonished that Jesus drew his circle wide, but he didn't draw it wider still. He drew it narrowly. And this woman, this Canaanite woman, who has no name in the text and is still heard of 2,000 years later, becomes the teacher of Jesus. And because of that, and because of her love, and because she is that teacher, her daughter is healed. When I think about spirituality, it is easiest for me to begin to think about archetypes. And I want you to begin to embrace the archetype of the Canaanite woman. What we're seeing going on in Missouri, the struggle of that small town with the police department, that's the archetype of the Canaanite woman. She's saying, "No, the injustice is not going to happen any longer." Whenever people rise up and claim LGBT rights, that's the Canaanite woman. Whenever we dare to say, "Whoever you love, it is your love," that is the archetype of the Canaanite woman. And I want you to grasp that, because we still have some boundaries in this room. We still have some places we need to go forward. There's not a place for someone here who would come in a wheelchair. We do it with our food, with the potlucks. Do we remember there are vegetarians and there are vegans? Everyone should be welcome. And we have to continually to push our own boundaries in our heads, in the way that we treat other people, and in the way we gather together as a group. So as we begin to talk about the future of this church, let us get beyond the narrow ideas of inclusion just being about race and gender and sexuality. It's far greater than that. Let us push each other with the Canaanite woman to find out just how far the grace of God might take us. Because if we lean into the discomfort of God's grace, we might be astonished at what God wants to do in this church. Think about it. Amen.